A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
In Jesus' name. Oh Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. We honor you that we are seated here again today, witnessing Father's Day of 2017. Oh Lord, we are here to listen and hear from you. We ask, O Lord, that you bless our mouth, Lord, for the person who is speaking, Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you speak through him. Our ears, Lord, you bless them, that will listen and hear, Lord. And our hearts, O God, that will be receptive, even, O Lord, to make use of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I titled my message today as The Perfect Restoration. Amen.
Amen.
The Perfect Restoration. If you have been attending our meetings, one of the first prayer meeting of this month on Friday, we already saw a definition of what restoration is. Amen. It's actually the action of returning something to a former owner, place, or condition. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we have a number of synonyms with that. If you are struggling with the word restoration, can be seen as repair, mending, as the case may be. Amen.
Amen.
But if you look at the word restoration, you can actually characterize it. I characterize it into four aspects. I say there must be an initial state. Amen?
Amen?
That initial state must have been good. It's a condition that is desirable.
Amen.
That is better than perhaps the present state where the person is now. Amen?
Amen.
And then, of course, there must be a challenge. Some kind of oppression of some sort. Or exploitation. Which somebody is going through, and then is looking back and say, I don't like this state. I want to return to my former state. Now, it may not be in terms of time. Amen? Because, of course, time is progressive. So it may not be in terms of time. But in the condition which you live, or what you do, or perhaps what you have. Amen? But all we desire for is for greater glory. Amen?
Amen.
Greater substance. Greater or a better state. Amen.
Amen.
And then the third one is you need to have the desire, amen, to be relieved from that oppression or challenge that you are facing or exploitation as the case may be. And then, of course, that must be accompanied, which is the fourth. That must be accompanied by action. Amen. You must put in some action for you to be able to go back to the former state or a better state than even the former state. Amen. I notice that when it comes to restoration, it's something that might be difficult for you to do on your own. Amen. You cannot restore yourself. If you could restore yourself, then in the first place, you will not even be in that state of low condition or oppression, as the case may be, or exploitation. Amen.
Amen.
So if you can restore yourself, then of course, you will not be in that state. So you need somebody to help you, or sometimes you might need time to pass by for you to get to that state you want. Amen. So you need that, and that's what it's very important. Whatever state you are, you must recognize that there must be somebody or something, or some action that can return you to that state you desire, which is a state of restoration. Now, that is where a lot of people differ. Some look up to men to be restored. Amen? Some look up to their brothers, sisters, or government, or knowledge, education, as the case may be, to get to that state. But amen, we in Word Fountain, we look up to God. Amen?
Amen.
And who is the author and finisher of our faith? Who is the perfect restorer of all things? Who owns all things in heaven and on earth? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. You might be sitting there thinking, I've never needed to be restored at any point in time. I tell you, you might be wrong. Well, I would say the level playing ground for anybody, thank God for women, is when we were unborn in our mother's womb. Then you can get anything you wanted. You are in the womb, you don't know what is happening. If it's light, there's light. Food, anything you need is just there. The external condition does not affect you. Amen?
Amen?
You have everything perfectly. Whether your mother does not eat, the person who is carrying you in the womb, whether she doesn't eat, you don't care. You are having your own food 24 hours. Amen?
Amen.
That is the only level field. Once your legs step out into the world, once you experience the atmosphere, conditions begin to change. Amen. It was Pastor Jama that was talking about himself born in some forest in Benue State. Or was it just Plateau State? And then somebody is born in Queen's Hospital in the UK here. Conditions begin to change. Some were born in the fishing port. Amen?
Amen.
But today we are all here.
Amen.
But it's when you are growing up, you begin to realize that, of course, there are better conditions. You'll be walking to school, and then your friend drives past. His father bringing him to the school. You begin to imagine, why can't I be like that? Conditions begin to differ. Amen? And then you'll be thinking, why can't I be in that state? Why can't I be like that? Why can't I achieve this? But all that, there are different aspects that you need with respect to restoration. But based on this, I classify restoration into three groups. Amen? We are talking about perfect restoration. Amen?
Amen?
We have restoration of rights. I'm going to go through them one by one. And restoration of assets. And I say the third one is restoration of the soul. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's look at restoration of rights. It's legal entitlement to have something or to do something. The freedom to perform an expected task or to have something within the confines of the law. Amen?
Amen.
But you might wonder, I have my rights, yes. But I tell you, most of us here have experienced some kind of deprivation of our rights at some point or the other. Even up till now, some of us are still experiencing it. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to bring us to the light where I'm going to. Amen. We have lived with our parents at some point, and then because of condition, we have moved on to live with our uncles. And that's when you begin to know that it's different when you live with your parents. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for fathers. Fathers will not allow their children to suffer. But I tell you, if you live with your uncle or your auntie and then her husband, you begin to know that things are really different. I am a product of living with my brother, who is like my father, who had children, who had his wife as well. But I lived with them, and I know the conditions I went through. A number of us, because of where we come from, we have gone through that. But you will know that, yes, there are rights that have been taken away from you. There are times that you can't go through what children ordinarily will enjoy doing. You don't have the time to go play with your friends. You can't go to the park like our children enjoy here. Thank God for Brawali that takes the children to the park. You can't do that. In fact, for myself, at some point, I decided that I will forget myself. I will forget myself. And I will be there to do everything I need to do. I will not think about play. I don't care what I wear. I deprived myself of that right of childishness, of childhood. Amen. But the funny thing, most of these are uncles or brothers. They have children. And their children will just be sitting down doing nothing. Sometimes you think that they are protecting or helping their children. But at the end of the day, you discover that that backfires. When they become grown up and become independent, there are a lot of skills they would have developed through that. They don't have it. Some get married and they cannot sustain themselves in the marriage because they don't have that ability to take care of things for themselves, to do chores. But thank God we are here, amen. Amen. Thank God for those who are married. Thank God for those who are independent today. You can look back sometime and say, yes, I'm happy that I went through that because that's what built me up. Now, that can be seen as some form of oppression. That's what God doesn't like. He fights for the oppressed. Amen? If you open to Psalms 103, verse 6, say, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Amen. Amen. So independent of who you are, whoever is oppressing you, the Lord is not happy. God is not happy. He will have his turn coming. And that's what I want to say to you. At any point in time, you should reflect that you are not oppressing anybody at any point in time. Because you are not actually dealing with that person. You are offending God. And you know what it is to fall into the hands of God. When God is angry with you, if God gets angry with you, you know where you find yourself. Some sort of bullying as well is an oppression. But I tell you, God knows how he delivers his own. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was growing up. In my child, teenage perhaps, I was in maybe class 2, about 12, 13 years. And there's this bully that was just disturbing me. About my age, but he's well built and he can just beat me up. You know, these days in the villages where I grew up, the champions are those who are strong. You want to be their friends. You want to run around them. And so, wherever this young man sees me, he either tells me to shut up, get out. He just wants to shut me down. And myself, I was going to church. One of the things they've taught us is don't fight. At least for children, don't fight. Forgive, don't fight. So I was avoiding anything fight. Besides, he could actually beat me up. So why do I even need to fight him? But God is watching. Now, there's this games we usually play, inter-house sports. You know that. Where we compete in all types of sports. And there was wrestling. And so I learned one skill in wrestling. And now this is a game we are playing. And I challenged this person who was oppressing me everywhere. I said, come, let's try this. And before you know, I tackled him and threw him on the floor. I didn't just throw him on the floor. The style is so bad that if you get to the floor, if you manage to get to the floor, your mouth will be as if you've been punched. And he had a tear on his lip. Well, I didn't brag about that. But God knows how it works. God himself humiliated that boy. Sometime later, we are playing these games again. I think then it was table tennis. And somebody somewhere, somebody who is not our peer, you understand, we have these age groups, but those that are our senior, older than us. And he was like, what happened to you? Did somebody knock your lip like that? If I were you, somebody can knock my lip like that. And it was just quiet. And I was there. So I was not even the one challenging him. After then, that boy never shuts me up again. He never talks down on me anytime. And that is how God delivered me. Now, we can have this kind of bullying even in our workplace today. But all you need to do is to pray to God. Seek his face. God will make a way out and deliver you in Jesus' name. Yeah. I go to restoration of assets. Now, assets are useful things, valuables that you can have. For a lady, when they say she has all the assets, you know what that means. She has everything complete. Amen. Thank God for our women. Amen? But it can also be property, wealth. Amen. But all this, God is able to give you. Amen. He's able to restore it if it is lost at some point. We knew about the story of Job. Naomi. I don't want to recount all this, but there are a lot of stories in the Bible that will tell you how God restored one person or the other. There are testimonies in the Bible. Even today, we have living testimonies. Our people were changed. But there's a case I want to refer to. I'll look at that in 1 Kings chapter 13. If I'm there quickly, I can read it. It's about Jeroboam. I'll read from verse 4 quickly. I'd like to read to verse 6. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. I'll just go to verse 6 from there. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Amen. Amen. That is what God can do. We read a lot of these miracles in the Bible. It can happen to us today. Amen. Amen. But at some point, you might need to be restored because of some actions you have taken, or something you have done, or how you have behaved in the past. And that is where we need to be careful. This is a man of God sent by God to deliver a message pertaining to Jeroboam. Jeroboam is somebody whom the Israelites made king because the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, did not want to listen to the advice of the elders then that he sought advice from, that he should be more lenient to them. He rather thought that he should listen to his friends, that he should rather increase the burden upon the children of Israel. And they got angry and chose Jeroboam. At some point, Jeroboam realized that these children might still return to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And he was like, if so, I know what to do. He knew how to anger God. So he decided to go and build other gods for the Israelites to worship. And God saw this and was really angry. He knew what he was doing. And he sent a man of God to prophesy to Jeroboam, to the altar. And Jeroboam dared to challenge the man of God. There might be things we are doing today, we might be challenging God. We might be challenging anybody that stands here. We might be challenging people who have been put as authority over us. As far as you have a leader, especially in the house of God, it is constituted by God. And so, whatever you do, you don't want to challenge that person. Because you might get your hands withered. And getting your hands withered might mean a lot of things. It could be your condition changing. It could be you losing your job. But as far as you can realize that, pinpoint the point where you have gone astray, God is able to restore in Jesus' name. God will restore in Jesus' name. There are a lot of examples we can refer to when it comes to restoration of rights and assets, as the case may be. We all experience this. At some point, we go through this. But you know what makes the difference? Even those who are not Christians, they go through it. Sometimes they are down and sometimes they are up. Sometimes they lose things, sometimes they get more. It happens to us all. But the question is, how do we react to after being restored? You know, when Jeroboam was restored, he invited the man of God to come into his house. I feel in my spirit that what he wanted to do again was to make sure that that man of God sins against God. Because that is his time. He would have given him alcohol, perhaps. He would have given him food served to idol so that the man of God will annoy God. But God already instructed him not to eat there, not to do anything there, and he kept his word. He told him straight ahead, and he refused. Now, some people, some of us, when we get restored, we go back trying to hurt even the person who restored us. For that, God is going to punish. God does not like that. It's like, they will say, feeding or biting the hands that fed you. If you bite off the hands, there will be none to feed you next time. Because there is always a next time. But God himself fights against that. There are some that will go back even doing worse than they did. Like Jeroboam in this case. He was restored, but instead of him to realize that God is angry with him, even with all the anger, with all he has done, God still forgave him and restored his hand, he rather continued to sin. There's this story I heard, perhaps for my wife, that a lady that has become an adult, she went back suing her parents because they deprived her from playing with her friends when she was younger. Now, time has restored her independence for her ability to do things on her own, independently. But for her to thank God that she has life, perhaps all her education she may have achieved, acquired by then, she's spending all her time trying to get back at her parents to sue them. That is what we don't want to do. Amen? As fathers, as godly fathers, as children of God, we don't want to do that. Amen? If you are restored, it's from God. Even he may send man to do that. He may do that through a man. But our glory, our gratitude must be unto God. And with repentance, to stay unto him. That leads me to the third point, restoration of the soul. Amen?
Amen?
Restoration of the soul. We as Christians, when we get restored, we don't want revenge. Amen? If somebody has altered in the process, we forgive. Amen?
Amen?
And that is what we are called to do. That is what we are asked to do as Christians. And that is what we must live by. That is what our Father, God, wants us to do. So now, it is only God that restores the soul. And if your soul is restored, that gives you the ability to forgive. Amen.
Amen.
It is that aspect of restoration that is perfect. It overshadows. It's higher than all other aspects of restoration. That is what we need. And that begins when you meet with God. When you give your life to God, your soul is restored. Amen. Psalm 62 verse 1 says, My soul silently waits upon the Lord, because it's the one that can deliver the salvation I need. It's the one that can deliver the restoration you need. When you have that restoration, assets don't matter. Rights don't matter. You know that it's a matter of time. That is why Joseph, after going through all he did as a young man, could forgive his brothers and really realize that it is God's plan. If not for God, I wouldn't have been here. It's God's plan because he knows that this day was coming for me to redeem the house of Israel from the hunger, from the famine that is going on. That is what we need to see as children of God, as godly fathers. Amen. Now, while your soul is restored, while you have given your life to God, you need to stay restored. That is where the challenge is. We need to stay restored. How do we stay restored? That is the issue. How do we stay restored? I say that we should not create sorrow to our homes. Now, I'm coming down to the home level because it's Father's Day. I want to concentrate a bit on fathers, but I will expand that to the church, because the church is compared with the family. It's an existence. It's a family. Amen?
Amen?
It's a family bonded by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Which is even stronger than our biological blood. And so, whatever I say about the family, we want to reflect it to the church. Amen? So I say, for you to stay restored as a godly father, you don't want to create sores to your family. You don't want to create sores to the house of God. And so I say, the first letter there, so, is suspicion. There are a lot of suspicions that go on in our homes. As a father, you don't want to do that. That is the beginning of trouble in your home. There are a lot of people who go suspecting their wives. Why not talk to them? Sometimes you see that your wife's phone ring, you'll be struggling to go and pick the phone. Why? Because of suspicion. Why not talk to one another? You make assumptions. When the person is there, you can actually ask. Then what is the use for having a family if you can't discuss? Now, one thing I have realized is, when a man and his wife begin to strive at home, they think that they are competing with one another. They want to outdo one another. That leads me to the second word, oh. On so, oppress, oppose rather, oppose. They oppose one another. They begin to compete for things. Another word for oppose, compete. They compete for things. Who will do more? Or who will do that and who will not do this? I have been doing all this and he's been resting. Or he's been out there. That is a canker worm that eats the home. You don't want to oppose one another. When you begin to do that, it's like you and your wife and your children, perhaps, in a boxing ring, and you are inviting the devil to be your referee. So he's there. Give him a punch. You give. She gives another punch. And it just keeps going on and on. You don't want to invite the devil to be your referee. Rather, you should both punch the devil at once.
Amen.
And kick him out of the ring. And stop the fight. Both of you are winners. Amen.
Amen.
That is one of the things as a man you must try to keep. You must make sure you avoid suspicion in your home. Don't oppose one another. You are not in a boxing ring. I say, you're talking about boat, capsizing of boat. I will take it as canoe. If you are from the background where I am, canoe are different sizes. But once you are married, I liken your canoe to be that big one where you have the head, the back, where the person who actually steers the boat sits, maneuvers the boat sits. So he's the one that drives the boat to any direction they want to go to. And there are other seats until the front. I will say we can leave the front for the wife because she can help you to look and see if there are some obstacles for you to avoid. And then the children could occupy the middle. And when you are in that canoe, you must walk together or else you will not get to where you're going to. And I tell you, when you get out there in the river and the sea, there are a lot of obstacles from every side. Some bigger boats will pass, will bring wave. So if you're not careful, you might capsize. If you capsize, all of you will be in soup. You will look for how to deliver yourselves. There's wave that's caused by just breeze, air blowing. You have to combat against that. Then there's the current of the river. So obstacles are there like that. But the father is the one that sits at the rear, that controls the boat, the direction. And you must all work together. You are in the same canoe. You are in the same boat. If it capsizes, both of you capsize. If it capsizes, your children might drown. Your wife, even yourself might drown. So you don't want that. Fighting and opposing one herself, you are causing the boat to capsize. There are a lot of obstacles. Sometimes there might be oil in the boat. Water is coming. Somebody needs to bail it out. It's a teamwork. That is what it is. Even in the house of God, whatever department you have, wherever you are, it is a teamwork. You must walk together with those who have been put in charge of you. You must not rebel. You must not point fingers because you might get withered. You have to work together. You have to listen to one another. You have to dialogue. You have to. It's your office. It's a business. So what you will do in your office where you are secularly paid some amount of money, you want to ensure that you do greater even in the house of God. Because the reward for you in the house of God is much more than that.
Amen.
And there are a lot of ways you can oppose one another. There are a lot of ways. But anything that negates a positivity in the home, you are opposing. Even if things are happening and you are sitting on the fence, you are opposing. You don't want to do that. I'll give you another story. Also, I heard it from a pastor. Those times of Nigeria Airways, I hope that one day we'll get it running again. There's this air hostess. You know, they fly to other countries so they can have dollars, pounds. She's married. And there's this time that there was hardship in the home. And there was no money anywhere. They were going asking and seeking other people to help them. And you know what it is like when you are down financially and you need help from people. They also need that help. They also need their money. So it will take time for you to find somebody who's actually ready to give you money. They went all around only to come back one day after going out to see that the house is flooded. And floating on top of that water is money. Where is it from? The hostess, the wife hostess, has been hiding her money somewhere when the family is suffering, because she doesn't want to contribute to the well-being, or I don't know what she's reserving the money for when the home is in disarray because their finances are down. So sitting on the fence like that too can be opposition. And you can guess, if our husband is not a man of God, you can guess where that marriage leads to. We also don't want that. From what I understand, for God, when you are married, you are married, except your partner dies. So that's something that God takes sacred that you must be careful about. You have to get it right. Even if you don't get it right, you have to fight to make it right. Once you are married, you are married. We don't want to go to that path of divorce. No. Except your partner dies. That's what God wants. So when you marry, you stay with your partner. So it's your place to make sure your marriage works. It's your place to make sure you steer the boat in the right direction. And I tell you, the man can't do it alone. He cannot do it alone. We need the women to support us. We need our children to also help in paddling. It's a big boat. At some point, you don't even know what direction you are going to. You must work together. Even if you don't know the direction, it's better for you to say, okay, let us try this direction first. If it doesn't work, we'll turn the other direction. It's better than opposing one another in the boat. Amen. And that is what, as fathers, we must try to ensure. Another thing that sometimes can be a killer to the home is retaliation. That is the arrow in the sword. Retaliation. We don't want to retaliate. Retaliation is for God. Except you don't love the person. It is only hate that can cause anybody to retaliate. If you love your wife and she does something you don't like to you, you don't have to retaliate. You do not retaliate. Even to your enemy, God forbids us to retaliate. How much more your wife? The thing is, even you as a father, you are not perfect. At some point, you have to listen. At some point, you have to reflect back with your family. And then you begin to see, if I've done that, if we have gone this way, if you have made that decision, for me, I remember when we were doing assessment of self in terms of leadership and business. I am the type that is not very forceful. Calm. Allows things to happen. I'll say I'm not a driver as such. But I can tell you, my wife is a driver. She can see things and go for it. But if I don't support her, then it means we'll be rocking the boat. And that is what, as fathers, at some point we may have to do. We need to support our wives. Because like I said, they are at the front. Their view of things, the way they see things in the boat, is different from how you will see things. There are some storms from the river that are so, they are not so obscure in the water. You can see them. But those in front can see them because they're just at the tip of the water. So you can steer the boat and just climb on it. And he can even break the canoe into two. So sometimes the sea. I myself, perhaps, it would have taken me longer than I have to be able to drive in the UK. But it was my wife that brought up the idea. And I bought into it. And I know how that has helped me today. And you know, with time, these things even get tougher. Now, you need that knife to pass your driving test. And that's some trick that's perhaps more difficult than I used to be. So, you have to work together as a family. You don't want to retaliate. You don't want to oppose each other. Also, kill suspicion. That also radiates to the house of God. For us to work together, we must not oppose things. There's one way I think that it is good for you not to oppose. Financially. I'm not sure of any husband here that whatever you do in the house, you pay yourself. Whatever you do in the home, you pay yourself. Or whatever your wife does, she pays herself. No. Because it's your home, you're building it. It's yours. Why do you even need to pay yourself? So, where I'm going to is, as far as you are in a church, as far as you are in a home, as far as you are in an assembly like we are in Word Fountain Christian Ministry, it is not the best. It's good. It is not the best for me as an engineer to render a service, perhaps my design service, to Word Fountain and expect myself to be paid. Then it means that's my home, that's my church, that's where I come from. It's a service I'm employing myself for. Why do I need to pay myself? Of course, there are a lot of reasons why I don't want to pay myself for the design I make. One, I believe that God is going to reward me more than the money. And he has already rewarded. In fact, if not for him, why would I even have the opportunity to even do that design? How come did I even get all that knowledge to even get there? So in fact, I've not even paid him enough to be able to do that design. I designed this church for my former church in Nigeria before I came. I did all the drawings, did the stamping, and today it's built. But I could do a design for another church and get paid. It's still my choice. I could do other services and get paid. But I tell you, if you want the best for yourself, for the family, as a father, you must learn. You must try as much as possible to look up to God for your payment, because he is the ultimate. The way he will pay you, you cannot fathom. You can't imagine. And I move from there to the last one. Under the word soul, you don't want to contribute souls to your family. Envy. Envy can lead to every other one. In fact, going back to where we read 1 Kings chapter 13, in fact, the whole chapter is relevant to my message today. But we can't go through it. Now, after this man of God was able to go through that, deliver his message, escape from the king, because he was trying to be funny, to lure him to sin, he was able to escape from his pranks. Another man of God somewhere, old prophet, as the Bible puts it, got this information from his children And I don't even know what. He just stood up and went all the way to deceive this man of God. And all what the man of God has said, he said no. Another angel has appeared to him. And so the angel said that he should eat here and do all the things God has instructed him not to do. And he ended up eating. He just believed the man of God, the old prophet, and he ate, drank, and did all the things God asked him not to do. And at the end of the day, a lion came and tore him and scattered his bones while he was returning back to where he came from. I just can't imagine why another prophet will go to a man of God who is doing the work of God to deceive him. I can't imagine the pleasure that he took in that. So there are times that you don't know. Even the closest person. And that's why we pray for the utterance of God, the guidance of God, the ability to fathom things, to see things. So you don't know, because then he has even let off his guard. He's a man of God. He has introduced himself and he just believes. There are times that things will come like that. You might need to go back to God and say, God, should I do this? And that is what perhaps the man of God failed to do at that point, for him to have believed. If I look at that, I don't even know who to blame. But what else than envy? You don't want to envy your wife. You don't want to envy other people in church, because then it will lead to suspicion. It will lead to opposition. It will lead to retaliation. It is the root of all evil, just like money. Praise the Lord. So my word to us today as Father, in this Father's Day, is that we should try our best not to create sores to the family, to the biological family, to the spiritual family, to the church. Amen. Let's begin to rise on our feet as we round up now. And I just want us to pray two prayers as we round up two prayers pertaining to 1 Kings chapter 13. Jeroboam pointed at the things of God. He tried to challenge the man of God. He tried to oppose the man of God, even though he knows he was wrong. Let's pray that we will support all activities in the house of God, that any spirit of opposition, any spirit of rebellion in the house of God, it should take away from us. Let's ask for the spirit of humility to walk with one another. Also extend that to our homes. God has instituted a home for us to be together, for us to work together. Pray against every spirit of opposition, every spirit of suspicion. Let him take it out of us. We don't suspect our children, but rather let's ask for God's wisdom to deal with issues, to discuss as friends, to discuss as brothers, to understand one another as children of God. The family x-rays the home. The family x-rays the church. So whatever happens in the family, that is how the church should be. If the family is happy, the church will be. And so let's pray for God's guidance. Let's pray for his protection. Let's pray for his wisdom to handle situations, to work together, to support one another, to remove all spirits of retaliation, oppression, opposition, suspicion amongst us. Oh Lord, we thank you. We bless your name, Lord. Oh, we thank you. We bless your name. Because, Lord, you are doing a wonderful thing in our lives. Oh Lord, we thank you because, oh Lord, you will teach us how to operate, how to work, how to do things, how to support one another, how to understand others, how to discuss, how to work as a team. Oh Lord, we pray that your Spirit, Lord, will help us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the second prayer. We ask for the spirit of discernment in our lives. There are times that you don't really know. It doesn't even have to be your enemies. There are times you need to make decisions. And you don't know which decision to make. Let's ask God that He will help us. Give us the spirit of discernment. That whatever decisions we take, whoever we listen to, whatever we do, that is going to be as well. It will be there for us. It will guide us. It will make us take the right decisions. It will use the word to direct our feet, as lamps unto our feet. Oh, let's pray that God will help us. That we will use the word. We will use the scriptures to help us. We will hear from Him. We will hear from Him. We will take directions from people who know, who trust, who are people of God. That He will not allow false prophets, false spirits to dwell among us. That will give us that spirit of discernment to do what is right, to conduct ourselves in the right situations, in the right manner. Oh Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Even for the answered prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Oh Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord, because you have enabled us again to witness this Father's Day. And oh Lord, you have taught us that we should not walk against one another. Not in our homes, not in the house of God. Give us that spirit of humility, Lord. Oh God, even to recognize authorities, oh God, our leaders and our heads, our husbands and our wives, our children, Lord. That you help us, Lord, to improve our homes, to walk in your presence, to please you, Lord, oh God. And to be the godly fathers and mothers and children that you have designed for us to be. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402-108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.